22nd, 2000, and this is what it says. It says, "Dear Dad, the reason I think I'm doing these things is not because your whooping didn't work or the talk. I think it's the devil doing these things to me because I'm getting worser." Worser. "I'm getting worser. I think the devil is doing these things to me because I'm getting worser to the Lord." No, I'm sorry. Let me, because this got me all excited. Okay, let me start over. "The reason I think I'm doing these things is not because your whooping didn't work or the talk. I think it's the devil doing these things because, to me, because I'm getting closer to the Lord and you. I think he's trying to break us up because last year I wasn't this close to you and the Lord. And this year, since I'm moving closer, he's messing with me. That's what I think. Love, your son, Leon."
All right.
Which is, this is a very cute letter, okay? But it's wrong in a lot of sense, okay? Because like the gentleman said earlier, we can't blame everything on Satan. I know we remember, don't we remember someone used to use the old saying, "The devil made me do it"?
Uh-huh.
Who was that?
Flip Wilson
said that. And that was a saying that went throughout the world. And I remember at times I used to say things like that too. And we say things like that to try to either justify why we did what we know we shouldn't have done, or sometimes we try to rationalize things, you know. But a lot of times we want to put everything in Satan's hand. Mm. Have you heard the old saying where people say, "Satan is busy"? And they just leave it at that. Mm. Who is busier than Satan?
Jesus.
Hello. Mm. So when you say Satan is busy, you are almost giving him omnipotent power.
Mm.
You're making him all powerful when you say that. But I know someone who's busier than Satan. I know someone that who's not created, but he's the creator. So if anything that's created, is that more powerful than the one who actually created?
Can't be.
No, it's impossible. So this is this letter, because I remember Leon, and let me show you how you can tell when a child is trying to use a little psychology on you. I remember one time he had got in trouble, and I told him, I always tell my son, there is repercussion for when you do wrong. So this one particular time he got in trouble. So I told him, I said, you know what, we're supposed to be going to Six Flags. We can't go to Six Flags now because of what you have done. But I tell you what, I give you an option. Now you could be punished for what you have done and you will be able to go to Six Flags.
Mm.
So what do you think he took? He took the punishment. Why? Because it was something great, right? It was because it was something great. So he was willing to take the punishment to receive something great, okay? And so, like us, there is punishment that we have to take because of the wrongdoing that we do. But is it because of the glory of God that you'd be willing to take that punishment? Because you want to satisfy who? Who do you always want to satisfy?
Yourself.
But ultimately, who you should want to satisfy?
The Lord.
The Lord. The Lord God. And I just want to give you this real quick. The enemy tried to distract us. He always tried to distract us, right? He tried to deceive us. He always tried to deceive us. And he tried to disarm us. And for the purpose of us denying God, all that is the purpose of us denying God. We should always trust in the Lord and him only. And there's going to come trials and tribulation. But our trials and tribulation is to make us strong. It's supposed to strengthen our faith. Because without trials and tribulation, you can't tell me anything about your faith.
Mm.
Your faith means nothing without trials and tribulation. But it's supposed to strengthen you, and it's supposed to gear you, and it's supposed to direct you towards who? Anybody? I can't hear you. All right, let's say it like we know it. Oh, I know, I understand your voice. But we have to do that, because that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to be quiet when we should be shouting because of who God is, right? So I just wanted to leave that with you real quick. And to understand, like Larry was saying, it's all about knowing the word of God. But it takes a little bit more than that. If you don't have a relationship with God, I don't care how much word of God you know. Because if that's not allowing you to cultivate a relationship with him, I know a lot of people that know scripture. I know a lot of people that can quote scripture. I know somebody else who can quote scripture. Somebody else quote scriptures to Jesus today. Who?
Yeah.
Satan. So if he can quote scripture, he knows something about the word of God, right? But he don't have a relationship with God. The word became
flesh.
Okay? Now, unless you know him personally, you can know all the word you want to know. You can know all about theology. If you don't know the person, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you can quote all scriptures. I ran across brothers who can quote scriptures, but if you look at their life is a total wreck. Why? Because they don't have a personal relationship with Christ. You got to have a personal relationship with him before you can actually use the word of God. Because if you try to use the word of God without knowing him, trouble. Nothing but trouble. So this is like I said, this is right here is an awesome lesson. I hope that we all got into it, because this is one of those lessons that causes you to grow in your faith. Because like my brother Larry said, knowing the lesson and not applying it means nothing. You have to apply it to your life. And I remember, I like the analogy that the young man gave when he was saying that when he looked in the mirror and saw himself, and he knew that the first person he had to deal with is self. Self. So if you have a problem with sin and doing things, it's because of self. And Christ tells us to do what with self?
Crucify
also. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross.
That's
and follow him. Damn. Because we belong to him. We're not our own. We was bought with a price. Okay, so I belongs to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's my master. Okay? So remember that. And I'm turning back over to the hands of the pastor.
Amen. Do the youth normally only on the first? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, praise the Lord, and we thank my brother Douglas for that review, and we welcome those who have joined us this morning here in the sanctuary. And just a few words. Does brother Adams have anything that you'd like to say, or are you pretty good? Or okay. Amen. I know our time gets away quick, and. But there were some things that did cross my mind as I heard everything I did here. I got to pick up quite a bit of what was being said today. And it's amazing to me how God orchestrates our lessons, because I had no idea. I hadn't looked ahead. I accidentally left my book here. And the message for today is going to help bring some of this together for everybody. And I had already planned it. Actually, last week even kind of touched on some of what we are talking about today. And so we contend that if you continue to come, you will continue to learn about the Lord and learn how to be closer to the Lord and learn what is acceptable to the Lord. And what I want to say on this subject of temptation with just a few minutes, we'll all be tempted as we go through life with various things. And as James said, it's the things within us that draw us to particular things. Something that might tempt Brother Adams might not tempt me at all. Something that might tempt me wouldn't tempt Brother Martin at all. Something that each one of us has a particular bent of things that sometimes tempt us and draw us off of a good course like the Lord wants us to be on. The thing we have to remember all the time is that God already knows about all of our weaknesses. Yes. And in spite of that, he has given his son.
Amen.
To show show you how committed he is to you being able to have victory, has already given you his son.
Yes.
Jesus Christ was crucified for you. God heaped the debt of everything we could possibly ever do and have ever done on his son, Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross. He forsook him, turned away from him, let him die. You see, and why? Because he knew that his son, who had been promised from eternity, was perfectly holy, and he's the only human being that could ever take being forsaken.
Amen.
My God, none of us could ever do that.
Right.
God forsook me, I'd probably come apart into a billion atoms and molecules and just come undone. Like Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone.
That's right.
When he saw the glory of God.
Yeah.
See, so the only one who could take it is Jesus.
Amen.
And God did it. He forsook him, turned his back on him, allowed him to suffer on the cross alone, and that didn't even kill him.
Right.
After he forsook him, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why are you forsaking me? And he did that to let you know, I've been forsaken, but I'm not disintegrated. I'm not destroyed. I'm still alive. And I'm doing this for those who I love.
Amen.
See, I'm paying the bill.
Yes.
I'm not getting by. I'm not getting a discount. I'm getting the full blast from the Most High God.
Amen.
His entire wrath is falling up on me.
Yes.
See, and why am I doing this? I'm doing it for you.
Yes.
All of you who believe in me.
Right.
You know why? Because I know you guys all have weaknesses. All of us.
Yes.
We have weaknesses. We're not going to make it. If God has to hold me accountable for every little thing, I am not going to make it.
That's right.
See? And so he knew that. So he didn't want to cast Fisher into hell.
Yes.
He doesn't want you there.
Thank you.
So what did he do? He paid the bill.
Yes.
He let Jesus pay it all entirely.
Amen. Amen.
And so think about that when you come along in your walk with God.
Yes.
And why did he do it now? Did he do it just so we could say, okay, I'm scot-free now. I can do anything I want? No.
No.
Yeah, why? Because he knows that he has to empower you to do the right thing.
Amen.
He has to strengthen you to say no when you ought to say no.
Yes.
If he doesn't give us the ability to walk away from the things that are hurting us in our lives, we won't be able to do it.
Right.
That's why people get stuck on drugs, they get stuck in sexual sin, they get stuck all kinds of different ways, because they won't let it go and let God turn them around, and he will do it.
Amen.
He is the only one who can do it.
The only one.
You know, and I look back, I got a long list of stuff I don't do anymore. I got a long list of stuff that God has taken away.
Yeah.
That used to be a problem to me, serious problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's taking it away, and he has the authority and the power to do it.
Yes,
the
does.
Stuff I still have that's not right is because of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got stuff, and we need to learn to bring stuff to the altar.
Amen.
See, bring it to the altar and leave it. And it's hard for us to do that sometimes.
Yes.
But that's what the Lord wants. He wants you to bring it to the altar. But now the real test is, and I just want to say this because we don't have a lot of time, the fact is that God, you will notice in the word, he allowed certain people to be tested.
Yes.
Even though he himself did not test them.
Right.
You know, but Satan came saying, you know, that Job you got down there, the only reason he likes you is because you bless him so much.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm putting this in modern language.
Yes.
That's the only reason he's worshiping you. Let me strike some of that stuff in his life and mess him up, and then see what he'll say. He'll curse you to your face.
Right.
See? And so God said, okay, you want to try that? So he's trying to show Satan something, that you don't have more authority than me.
Mm-hmm.
And you think Job only served me because I bless him.
Yeah.
See? So he's testing the integrity of Job's faith by allowing Satan to come in and destroy. Satan wants to destroy. He's happy. He's in his element when he can kill, steal, and destroy.
Right.
See? And so God knows that those who really love him will continue to love him.
Amen.
No matter what they're going through.
Right.
See, it has nothing to do with what you bless me with.
Right.
You know, just like Jacob saying, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. He wrestled with the angel.
Amen.
You see, but it doesn't have anything to do with that. I love you.
Yeah.
And see, I love you anyway, no matter what happens, even if you have to break my hip.
Yeah.
You know, as he did Jacob. Now, don't worry about that if you haven't read that in Genesis 28. But the fact is, God loves you, and he may allow you to go through some changes just to show the devil that, look here, Brother Adams can handle this. You said he couldn't, but he can. See? And he's tested. He's my servant. See? So, and young people, I have to say this today, there are more temptations in the world to bring young people off the track than there ever was in the time in my entire lifetime. So you all really have to be careful. I was hearing about the teacher who flashed some pornography at the school. Did you all hear about that? And some of the students took their phone and took a picture of it and put it on the internet, and then they suspended the students for doing it. I thought, well, what would you have that on your computer for in the first place?
Right.
See, and then when they took a picture of it, why'd you have it up there so long that they could get a phone out and take a picture of it?
Right.
If you knew that was wrong, something is not right there.
Mm-hmm.
See, so what do you do now? Punish the kids? See, there's something wrong with that whole thing.
Yes,
you know, and so that's the kind of time we live in. We live in an evil time when you might see anything. Some of the stuff we see today, every day, on TV, you would never have seen that anywhere.
That's right.
You know, it would have to be somewhere in a dark alley or somewhere where it's not in public view like we see it today. There were not even billboards with people on there slightly dressed in underwear and that type of thing when I was a kid. And so today, our kids really are under a lot of pressure.
Yes,
you know, and we really need to instruct them, because their lives can be ruined. All it takes, it can turn on a dime and their life is ruined. You know, so they need to be protected against temptation.
Amen.
And the whole reason for all of this is because in the last 50 years, most of you all, or not even 50, I'm going to say here, and some of y'all might feel good about that. But in that 50 years, that's when they took the Bible out of the schools, they took prayer out of the schools, and it used to be the center of our culture in America. So when we see America the way it is now, it's because of 50 years of turning our back on God.
Right.
See? And that's why we've got so much corruption everywhere, like it is. It's running rampant. People act like they don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what happened 50 years ago. You said we don't want God here in the middle of culture anymore.
That's right.
We don't want your word in the school anymore. We don't want prayer anywhere anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you get? This is the backlash of what you get when you throw God out.
Amen.
See? And so we need to really be girded up, because God loves us.
Yes.
He hasn't changed. You know, when man changed, think about this, God never changed. He loves us today just as much as he ever did. He loves you more. The more corrupted stuff gets, the more love God gives you.
Amen.
And he, the more he wants you to be right, and he makes it possible. So standing up against temptation is something that we have to really learn to practice. Put your heart in it, know that God is with you on it. And I'm going to go here. This is one place I thought possibly that we might conclude here today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I just want to share a few words with you here, because our time is almost gone. But this is a great lesson, very intense. 2 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says this, and I just want you to hear these words, because I think this kind of summarizes what we're talking about. We won't have a lot of time to go in much detail, but notice this, 2 Corinthians 10, he says this in verse number 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." See that? They're not fleshly. We can't defeat the devil with fleshly weapons. You know, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
You got something been holding you back and you don't know how you can get rid of it? Take it to God.
Amen.
You can't do it in the flesh. The armor of the flesh is weak. But these things are mighty through God. He says here, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He says, in other words, no fleshly thing we can do, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God can take the strongholds down. He can give you victory where no one else ever could, where you couldn't defeat it yourself on your own with all your might. Notice Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord." The spirit of the Lord will give you power. Notice this verse 5, he says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." See there? So we're going to cast down imaginations. In other words, anything anybody imagined that they might overcome the Lord's people with, you will throw it down.
Right.
It can be cast down through the power of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You see that? And he says, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice that, and we're bringing into captivity, we are not in captivity, but we're bringing those thoughts against godly thinking into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, realize Jesus died for you. He loves you. He can strengthen you. He wants to give you victory over everything you're dealing with. He wants you to be able to be holy for real.
Yes.
You know, not a sham holiness. We got a lot of folks with sham holiness. We were talking about that this morning. They come in and they make a show in the church, but their hearts are not heading toward the Lord. They're not doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants to empower you where you can actually be right.
Amen.
And you can feel good about who you are because God has blessed you and given you victory over sin.
That's right.
See? And so this verse is very important. Casting down imaginations and every, you notice that? Every high thing, no matter how high, you know, Satan can lift up his throne high as he likes, but he can't lift it higher than the throne of God. Mm-hmm. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything coming against what God's word is, the knowledge of God is what he said. See? And so God wants to equip you for that. He does it by giving you the understanding of his word, and he blesses you with his spirit. The spirit is on board, and if we yield to the word of God and the spirit of God, we're going to be walking the way we should, and we will defeat temptation.
Amen.
And we will get ahead. Now, the good news is, no matter if you do or you don't, I just want to say this as I conclude. The Bible even says if we confess our sins, that means be for real about where you are.
Amen.
In your growth. Tell it to God.
Right.
Go to him in prayer. That's what it means. To confess means to say the same thing. In other words, if God says something is not right, I say it's not right.
Amen.
I'm not going to side with the world. The world may say, oh, this is all right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, they're trying to legalize marijuana.
Yeah.
Okay? And I know marijuana is a reckless thing. I used to be indulging in it all the time. I can tell you all about it. And it will ruin your life and waste your time.
Yes,
see? And it will make more trouble in the world and is going to help anybody. And I think they're doing it because of greed.
That's it.
They see the drug dealers getting the money. They want the money.
Exactly.
They don't really care about the people.
No.
Let the people be all messed up and then come in so we can fire them and get them all out of here, off the job, just like they do with alcohol. Alcohol is legal, but you can't go to work drunk.
Yeah.
You know, try that and see what that'll do for you.
Yeah.
Come in all jizzed up on some marijuana and see what that'll do for you.
Right.
Tear up some equipment in the person's whose job that you're working for and see what will happen.
Amen.
See, and so this is what society does. They just make stuff legal.
Right.
They say, we're going to legalize it, then we don't have to be guilty, feel guilty about it.
Right.
But see, stuff like that, that's when people bring up a thing in the culture and try to make something that really isn't good for the culture good, so they can feel better about it. So we want to be careful to know that God loves us, but if we do something that's wrong, he's not going to throw you out. He says, whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out.
Yes.
But you come and just tell the Lord. That's why I love the church, because in here we can come and we can be for real.
Amen.
I can come in here and say exactly what the truth is.
Amen.
And I know God is going to not throw me out. He didn't call me here to throw me out. He wants you to feel at home here.
Yeah.
You're among other people that are just like you. We got the same kind of issues you do.
Yes, we do.
And God has been fixing us little by little, making it better and better as we go along. You know, and I still have a ways to go. I can't stand here even though I'm at the sacred desk and tell you I'm perfect.
Right.
Long way away from perfect.
Right.
Because there's so many things that don't even get addressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how about attitudes?
All right.
You know, how about the way we think? Sometimes we don't think right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we jump to conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
We stereotype people, all kinds of things.
Right.
Jesus never did that.
No.
He loves you right where you are. No matter where you are, he loves you.
Amen.
And he will never throw you out at all.
No.
He wants you to come again and again and again. Just like the woman at the well. He didn't tell her, get going. You know, you had all those husbands, hit the road. He didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
He told her, and she just knew he loved her.
Yes.
In spite of the way her life had been.
That's right.
You know what? She went out telling everybody, "Well, I met a man. Whoa, he was awesome.
Yeah.
He told me everything, and you know, he said he would give me living water
yes.
to drink." And she became an evangelist on the spot. Went out telling everybody about the goodness of Jesus.
Yeah.
You see, and he didn't throw her out. And he said, "I must needs. I got to go there."
Yeah.
The disciples didn't understand. Why would you go up there? We don't like those folks.
Mm-hmm.
Those Samaritans.
That's right.
Look down on them like something was wrong with them. Yeah, we do that. We look at different groups of people and we don't like such and such a people. Don't do that. Jesus loves them all. He loves them all. Everyone, no matter what type they are.
No respect
of persons. He loves everyone. See? Loves you exactly the way you are.
Yes.
You know, and he's going to work on us. We got so much we need to work on.
Amen.
You know, and there's so much. So the only way we're going to win people is by loving them, letting them know that God loves you.
Yes.
He is accepting you right now.
Yes.
Loves you right now. Has a solution to every problem you have.
Oh, yes,
he's going to fix it where you can deal with it. And the glory will go to him.
Yes.
Okay, our time's gone. I don't want to go into our fellowship period, but temptation is something we always have to deal with. And we will talk a little bit more about it in the morning message. It's amazing to me the way God fixed this up. And so I am extremely happy about that, and we will get into that. So let's have a closing word of prayer or our normal dismissal. Amen.
Bless me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while others are calling, do not bless me, my loving Savior,
called to order by Deacon Michael Douglas and Sister Elena Silich at 9 o'clock after singing. Woke up this morning. Prayer talk by Deacon Michael Douglas. Scripture today was Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, 13-16, and Matthew the 4th chapter, 4-11 verse. The subject of the lesson was victory over temptation. Teachers took charge of the classes for 50 minutes. Officers present 4, teachers present 2. Visitors 6. Total attendance was 16. Total offering today $33. The lesson was reviewed by Deacon Michael Douglas. Remarked by Deacon Michael Douglas. The lesson was reviewed by Reverend Fisher Landers. Pastor Landers Fisher.
Amen.
Closing song, not. Michael Douglas, Senior Superintendent Wayne, Improved Secretary Julia Adams, Acting Secretary.
You have heard the reading of the minutes. Is there any correction? Since there is no correction, the minutes stand. Now we'd like to ask for 2 volunteers for next week to open up.